Now let us read together in God's Word in the Gospel according to Luke, Luke chapter 12 at verse 1. Last week we were being reminded of an exchange Jesus had with the experts in the law, and the result of that, as we see at verse 53 of chapter 11, was that the Pharisees and teachers of the law began to oppose Jesus fiercely and to besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him in something that he might say. And now the story moves on as we move into chapter 12 and verse 1. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after the killing of the body has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." Thanks be to God for his word to us, and may he give us grace to lay hold on his truth. Now let us pray. God, our Father, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, the one who delights to bring your truth to the minds and hearts of men and women. And we pray that now we would experience the full ministry of your Spirit as we turn to your word and ask that by your grace we will embrace those things you wish us to know today, and that they would stay with us and be our inner guide. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, over the last few years, I think it's fair to say that we've become more and more aware of the extent of persecution which is meted out to Christian people throughout the world, particularly in the Middle East at this time, but also in parts of Africa and even in South America and other places. At this very moment in Iran, there are 33 people in prison because of their Christian beliefs. And news of them is not just coming out from Christian sources. There is a UN human rights specialist on the job, and he's telling us that these 33 Christians in prison in Iran at this point in time, they're suffering sleep deprivation, frequent brutal beatings, various forms of psychological torture. Their lives are very, very hard indeed. And when we think of this, we have to compare that to our own experience as comfortable Christian folk in the West, people who never really have to fear that we might be taken by the authorities, because we're meeting like this on the Lord's Day, because we're reading the Bible, because we're meeting together for mutual encouragement. It seems to us, when we think of the conditions that other people are having to suffer today because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are a universe away from all of that. It is something that is very difficult for us to connect with. And yet, when we read the Gospels, and you don't have to read them that carefully either to see this, but there's absolutely no doubt that Jesus is preparing his disciples for persecution. That Jesus is taking it for granted that people will be persecuted because of their allegiance to him. And he's seeking to prepare them for this, but he's also seeking to emphasize to them that he expects a certain kind of response from his people. When they're under pressure from the authorities, when they're under pressure to deny him and to deny their love for him. It's typical in the Gospel according to Luke, as it is in the other Gospels, that as the story of Jesus unfolds, as it moves on, then the story becomes darker and more threatening. We heard last week about the Pharisees and the experts in the law, and how even after they had engaged with Jesus at a very deep level, still these men were committed to opposing him fiercely, were told, besieging him with questions and plotting against him. And when we move into chapter 12 of Luke this morning, we find that thousands of people were gathering around Jesus and they were trampling on one another, which seems to indicate a very threatening presence and perhaps an indicator that the crowds were beginning to turn against Jesus. And so it's in this atmosphere, an atmosphere of gathering darkness, that Jesus warns his disciples about future persecution and seeks to encourage them as to how they should respond whenever this happens. And he's at pains to emphasize to them that when the pressure comes and when they feel that the whole wrath of their society has been visited upon them because of their allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ, that this will be an opportunity for them to show what it really means to be a follower of Jesus. We're often told that when folk are under pressure, that we really see what they're made of. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, it's when these dark and difficult and cruel days come, you have an opportunity to show the reality of your love for me and your commitment to my ways. But he also encourages them, he seeks to comfort them with the knowledge that the Heavenly Father is with them in every circumstance, and that he will provide them with the resources that they need, not only just to cope, but also to be faithful witnesses. And the first thing that Jesus calls them to, as we read through this passage together, Jesus calls his disciples, even when they're under pressure, to maintain their integrity. We're told that he turns to his disciples and he says to them, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees. You see, what we know about these men is that they were determined to create an impression of piety because of their devotion to God's law, because of their scrupulous observance of ceremonial detail, because of the outward the love that they had for the outward show of religion. This was the impression that these men were seeking to give, that they were very pious. But Jesus looked into the hearts of these men, and he saw a different story. Jesus saw that in actual fact, they were very, very far away from God. Because if they were as close to God as they were making out with the outward show, then they would be concerned about the things that God is concerned about. They would be concerned about justice. They would be concerned about caring for the weak and the vulnerable in society. And there was absolutely no sign of that in the lives of these men. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, even when you're under pressure, even when people might make excuses for you, slipping just a wee bit, becoming a bit slack because of the pressure that you're under, don't be like the Pharisees. Don't maintain an outward show, but in reality, allow your hearts to be filled with bitterness and selfishness. Remember that the whole of your life is lived in the presence of an all-knowing God. There is nothing that escapes His attention. So do not say anything in the dark that you're not prepared to say in the light. And do not whisper anything into someone's ear that you're not willing to shout from the rooftops. There should be no disconnection between your outward projection of yourself and what's the reality in your heart. Even when you're under pressure, show yourselves to be people of integrity. And that's quite a challenge. But you know, friends, it's a fact that throughout the history of the church, there have been people, Christian people, under intense pressure, experiencing unbelievable cruelty. And they've still maintained a powerful Christian witness. You know, Pastor Watchman Nee, the Chinese pastor who was 20 years in prison and was sometimes beaten to a pulp with broken limbs, but we're told that the more intense his experience of persecution, the brighter his Christian witness shone, and even affected the guards who were dishing out the beatings. And Maximilian Kolb, the Franciscan priest in Auschwitz, that terrible place, managed to be a beacon of light and hope to people who are at the very end of their resources. The harder pressed these people were, the brighter their witness glowed. That's what Jesus is wanting from his disciples. Maintain your integrity. He also says to them that they should be sure of their destiny. They should be sure of their destiny. Verses 4 to 7. Jesus says to his friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after the killing of the body has power to throw you into hell. Jesus wants his people to be sure of their destiny. I love the story of Billy Graham, who was honoured by his hometown in North Carolina on his 90th birthday. And he wasn't very sure if he could go to this lunch because he's suffering from Parkinson's disease and finds it very difficult to stand up and speak in public. But he did go along, and when it was his time to speak, he told the assembled company that he realized that his time was pretty short on this earth. But he told a story about Albert Einstein, who was on a train journey from Princeton, and the ticket collector came along to inspect the tickets, and Einstein couldn't find his. He went into his pockets, he went into his briefcase, he couldn't find the ticket, and he was getting a bit agitated, and the young ticket collector said to him, "Look, I know who you are, Dr. Einstein. I am sure that you bought a ticket. Let's just forget all about it." And he moved on to inspect the other tickets. As he was moving into another carriage, he glanced back and saw the great physicist down on his hands and knees, looking under the seat for his ticket. And the young man rushed up to him and said, "Look, I don't think you understood me, Dr. Einstein. It doesn't matter. I know who you are. I'm sure you bought a ticket." And Einstein looked up from the ground and said, "Young man, I too know who I am. What I don't know is where I'm going." And Billy Graham said, "I want you to remember this about me. I know who I am, but I also know where I'm going." And what Jesus is saying in this passage is that he wants each and every one of us to be sure where we are going. None of this, I wouldn't say I was a great Christian. None of this, I'm only trying hard. Jesus wants us to be sure. Not because of anything we've done, but because of what he has done for those who will trust in him. We find that so hard, don't we? But that's why we call it the good news. We can come to that place where we know where we're going. And Jesus says that's particularly important for his disciples when they're under pressure. He says, "Don't fear people who will kill your body. Don't fear mortal danger. Don't fear ill health." Don't feel any of that, because your soul is safe with God. Certainly there's a shadow that falls over this. Jesus says that although you shouldn't fear any of that stuff, you should fear him who after the killing of the body has power to throw you into hell. That's the dark side of Jesus' teaching, which no one can ever ignore. But Jesus says, for his people, there is nothing to fear, so that when the persecutors come with their instruments of torture, and when they come with the keys to the prison cell, and when they come with their places of execution, each and every one of his people can remember that they are close to a God who is aware when every sparrow falls to the earth and is so intimately involved with his people that he knows the numbers of hairs that are on their heads. Jesus says, this is the God who is close to you. This is the God who has you in his loving focus. This is the God who values each individual human soul above anything else in his creation. And you see, the disciples would come to understand later that not only were they worth 10,000 sparrows, they were also worth the death of Jesus himself. And that's another thing that I find it very difficult to convince people of. That is, individuals here this morning, each one of us is worth the death of Jesus. That is how powerfully God loves us. That He would sacrifice His Son for our salvation. There's an old hymn which would never ever find itself into the CH4, I can assure you. But it contains a prayer which says, "Teach me what it cost thee to make a sinner whole. And teach me, Savior, teach me the value of a soul." And God comes back at us when we pray this and He says, "I'll teach you the value of a soul." The death of His Son. And yet we say, "Oh no, you can only try." Friends, you can try all you want. What God wants is for you to accept the value of your soul. And if we can grasp that, then we can be sure of the love of our Heavenly Father in every circumstance that we find ourselves in life. And that's why it'll be possible for us to be faithful witnesses, as Jesus calls His disciples in verses 8 to 10. You know, one of the things that these Iranian Christians are being put under pressure to do is to sign documents which say that they will no longer attend church. And some of them have been put under pressure to recant their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that they are still in prison is a message to us that these people are being faithful to Christ. Now let's be quite clear about this. Being faithful to Christ is not holding fast to certain principles. It is not being single-minded of purpose. It is not even being committed to following a particular moral path. Friends, the woods are full of people like that. Either embodying one of these things or all together. But when Jesus calls His disciples to be faithful, what He is asking is that we should be constantly loyal to Him personally. That is what is demanded of a faithful Christian witness. At the very heart of our faith, there is a person. So that an Oxford academic recently could say that Christianity essentially is a personality cult. And I'm okay with that. Because it emphasizes the importance of Jesus and how we relate to Him, how we will respond to Him. This one who has lived for us, who's died for us, and who has rose again for each individual person here today and calling us for a response. Jesus says He wants people to acknowledge Him. To acknowledge Him. That is the crucial response. And there's rather a lovely picture there of Christ becoming aware of people saying, "Yes, I belong to Jesus." And Jesus turning towards the angels in heaven and saying, "They belong to me. And no one will snatch them out of my hand." Now there's a shadow that passes over that as well. Jesus acknowledges that sometimes the pressure on people can be so intense that they might come to that place where they would deny Him. And that can be forgiven. But you see, sometimes that can become
a habit. That the denial of Jesus becomes a consistent hardening against the Holy Spirit, so that a person finds himself no longer open to receive anything from God, even His forgiveness. The more we push against Christ, the harder it becomes for us to receive anything from Him, even His forgiveness. And you know, folks, I've seen people who have become very, very hard against God. And it's very distressing to see that. But I've also seen people in the midst of horrendous personal difficulties who are quietly sure of the love of God and the good purpose that He has in their lives. You know, we're getting so upset about Haiti, and rightly so, and people are asking questions about a loving God that asks these things to happen. But if you actually listen to some of the people in Haiti, it is amazing the testimonies that are coming out of that place. Some time ago now, but I'm listening to the radio on the radio, the news on the radio, and it's a what you might call a secular news item about all the things that are happening in Haiti. And they interview one man who talks about his house being destroyed, his business being taken away from him, the distress of his family and friends, and the difficulties that he himself is experiencing. But he said to the interviewer, "I am a Christian man. And with God's help, I will go on and I will build for the future." That's the kind of faithful witness that Christ is calling for amongst His people. And all of this, you know, talking about integrity and being sure of our destiny and being faithful, I know. I mean, all of this depends upon the grace of God, and Jesus is calling us to take that seriously in the last two verses of our passage. When He speaks about His people being brought before the synagogues, the rulers and the authorities, and He calls them to depend upon the grace of God for how they are going to respond. Jesus is not giving them a promise that there will be no persecution and that there's going to be an easy ride for them. But what He is saying to them is, no matter what you have to go through and no matter what difficult experiences you're going to come up against, you will not be alone. Because those who belong to Me have been touched in the depths of their being by God the Holy Spirit. And those who belong to Me have souls which are safe in the loving grasp of a Heavenly Father. And those who belong to Me have a relationship that will never be destroyed by even the most difficult circumstance. That is His attitude to His people. If only we ourselves could believe it. The whole of the Godhead on our side, no matter what experiences we're having to go through. And you know, I think that's one of the most important lessons that I've learned over the past couple of years. That when we're called to follow Christ, and when we're called to be faithful witnesses, that does not mean that our lives are going to be smooth and uncomplicated. But nothing will ever separate us from His love. And nothing will hold back the good purpose that He has for each one of us. One of the brightest burning Christian witnesses in the 20th century and so far in the 21st, in my view, is Joni Erickson. This woman who for over 50 years has been confined to a wheelchair, paralyzed from the neck down, constantly in pain, and just recently being diagnosed with cancer. And if you read this woman's latest book, when she's dealing with all the issues which come into her mind, the days of difficulty, the days of doubt, the days of yearning, that life might just be that little bit better. In the end, she says, God has chosen not to heal me, but to hold me. God has chosen not to heal me, but to hold me. There is nothing that will ever separate us from His love. And that's the faith we are called to. Let's pray. God, our Father, we ask that in the power of your Holy Spirit, you would impress upon us everything that's true about you and everything that you cherish for us, and that you would lead us forward as a people who will maintain our integrity, be sure of our destiny, be faithful in witness, and always depending on the grace of our Heavenly Father. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.